So for our scripture this morning, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. And I'm calling this message Ground Rules for Growth. And I call it that because in this passage, I believe that the Lord, through Paul, is giving us a formula for our church to go beyond addition and experience multiplication. Does that sound good? Yeah. And for this year and beyond. And as you look around this room, obviously there's a lot of empty seats. Some of it's because people are sick. Some of it's just because they haven't found our church yet, right? But rather than allow that to discourage us, we need to look at every empty seat as an opportunity for growth. Amen? Can we do that? Can we have a positive attitude? Every spot, you know, every pew represents someone who needs the love of Christ. And they're out there, more than plenty to fill this place multiple times every Sunday. There's somebody belongs right there who needs the love of the church family, who needs you to invite them, maybe even bring them if they can't get here on their own. When we think about the potential for the future, we need to realize that potential is bright if we do things right. That's the way it is. If we do things, the right things, in the right way, with the right attitudes, backed by the power of prayer, with God's help, this place could be an awesome powerhouse of revival. And we will see this canyon transformed. It's all about attitudes, actions, and the anointing. This morning's anointing talk, or devotional talk about attitudes. If you've read our devotional this morning, you'll have already gotten a dose of what it means to have a good attitude. And by the way, if you haven't got a devotional, please grab one. Our ushers, I've instructed them to make sure everybody that hasn't got one, you may not know what they are, but it's a daily devotional, and they're very, very good. What attitudes or actions does the Lord require of us to be able to see these seats filled with hungry souls, with people who want to know and grow in Jesus just like we do? We're going to discover that today. We're going to talk about that today. Did you know that 6,000 to 10,000 churches in the United States close every year? Think about that. 6,000 to 10,000, not people, churches are dying and closing their doors every year. The only way to keep that from happening is to build on young, especially young people, because you know what? In 10, 20 years, a lot of us are going to be gone. We have to build in our young people. Many of us are going to age out, and that's why churches are often dying, because people want to focus on keeping themselves happy and not reaching out to the young people that need Jesus. And I'm going to read from the NLT this morning, Romans 12, starting in verse 9, 9 through 13. It says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Do you notice something about these verses? They aren't suggestions, are they? They're commands. They're commands. It's not like, I think it might be a good idea, or maybe you should. These are commands. These are God's commands, because this is God's word to us. We're going to look at these commands one at a time, starting in verse 9, which says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. How do we pretend to love others? What could an insincere love look like? Now, we all know what it means to be two-faced, to be one way in front of somebody, and then behind their back we judge them, or we bash them, or we belittle them. That's one way we pretend to love other people. Two-faced love is not love at all, is it? It's a role we play. It's a role we play to make ourselves look good in front of people. Maybe we say we love them, but it becomes kind of tough when we find out that it might actually cause us to have to sacrifice something, when we find out that love does things and love requires action. A person who truly loves others has to sacrifice at times. A person who truly loves will put the needs of others ahead of their own desires, their own preferences. That means we don't always get things the way we want them or the way we think we should be. Amen? Amen. The good of others has to outweigh our own personal preferences. That's how we meet the definition of a genuine love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. That is what sincere love looks like. And that's the kind of love that will fill the church pews, a sincere love. And that is God's command, a sacrificial and sincere love. Can we do that? Amen. If somebody said we can do that, I think we can. If we don't, we're going to go this way, all right? On our homepage of our website, I wrote this statement and says, are you looking for a new church home? Or are you just curious about what goes on when Christians gather on Sunday mornings? Are you on a quest to find truth and you want to know more about Jesus? By the grace of God, it is our commitment to make you feel accepted and loved should you choose to be our guest. Does that sound true? Is that the church we're going to be? Because if not, we will be a judgmental church, a church that sizes people off and up, sizes them up and writes them off. We don't want to do that. We want to love people with a sincere love. If we do, it'll go a long ways in bringing people into our fellowship. The next command here is hate what is wrong. Hate what is wrong. We can't whitewash over sin. If we start to do that, we're not going to grow in the right way. You know, we have to call sin what it is. Sin separates us from God, and we should hate that. Should we hate that? Some churches are filling their pews by minimizing the importance of living a holy life. Anything and everything goes. But they aren't doing anyone any favors by glossing over how serious sin really is. On the other hand, when we think about hating sin, we need to keep in mind that of all the sin we hate, we should hate ours more than anybody else's. The sin we need to hate is the sin within us. We need to love people in spite of their failures, because it is only in Christ that we can stand clean. When we think about hating sin, we need to hate our own sin. Do you hate your sin the most, or do you hate other people's sin? Amen? Hate your own the most. Psalms 51:17 says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. He's talking about being contrite, about having a hatred for your own sin. If we stay unwilling to compromise with sin here in this place and in our lives, God will honor that by building this fellowship. Amen? All right, that's another ground rule. What's the next one? Hold tightly to what is good. That means that unlike the rest of the world, which has totally lost its mind about right and wrong, we have to stand on what is right according to what? The Bible, God's Word. God's Word is the final arbiter of good and evil, not anybody else. The world doesn't get to decide what's moral, what's not moral. When we have, for instance, people who are advocating and cheering for third trimester babies to be murdered in the womb, it's pretty obvious that this culture has completely lost its mind as far as its moral compass. Hold tightly to what is good. God, that is God's command. God will bless our fellowship when we cling to what he defines is good. The next command, the next ground rule is love, verse 10, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Now we're back to that love theme again, but we're going to add to that honoring each other. To honor someone, how does that happen? What does it mean? It means to regard or treat the other person with admiration and respect. This passage says we need to take delight in honoring others. Delight. That means honoring others should thrill our hearts, should thrill us and not be a drudgery. Amen? Now, we are to honor our leaders. We honor our leaders by treating them with respect, being careful how we talk about them, even behind their back, and what expectations we put on them. We are also to honor our elders by treating them with respect because, for the most part, they've gotten some wisdom and they've been consistent in their walk for many years, sometimes many decades. We are to honor our women. Amen? We honor our women by treating them with respect and never looking down on them, never objectifying them in any way. Guys, that means keep your eyeballs where they belong. Amen? Anything else is dishonoring to our women. We also to honor our men. Our men deserve honor and respect for all that they do and who that they are in Christ. And we need to honor our young people, our children, even these two beautiful kids right here. Honor them. We honor you right now. How do we do that? We do that by investing in their lives, by seeing that they grow in an understanding of God's love for them, by bringing them to church and teaching them the love of Jesus. That's how we honor our kids. These are commands of God, not suggestions. If we treat each other with honor, God will bless our fellowship. The next command, or the next ground rule is never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Know each and every one of you has been given a role in the work of the Lord. And it's so easy for us to just sit back sometimes and just be spectators week after week after week, never offer anything back. Now, that's okay for a season, but pray. And ask God what he would have you do to enhance the work here or anywhere else. God has a job for each of us. If you're willing and you're unsure what your role might be here at San Am Chapel, come and talk to Pastor Cheryl or myself or Pastor Denny and Dee. We've got jobs. We've got things that need to be done. We can help you find your niche. When you do find your niche, your role of service, do it with all your heart. As we just read, don't be discouraged. Don't be lazy. Do it enthusiastically, even when it seems like you're just beating your head against the wall. If God's called you to do it, keep doing it, and there will be a breakthrough. Amen? He will. As time goes on, as we grow older, our roles change, our niche changes. But find that niche for where you are today. Do it with all your heart. It's unto the Lord. That is the Lord's command in this passage. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Verse 11, then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. By the way, I didn't see anywhere in the Bible the gift of critic or bellyacher listed anywhere. Amen? Now, I know nobody here thinks they have that gift, but there are people who think they have that gift, the gift of bellyaching and criticizing. If we all work enthusiastically in what the role God has given us here in this church, God will bless us more than we can imagine. The next command, the next ground rule is rejoice in our confident hope. This command is that we always keep in mind what a glorious blessing we have to know beyond all doubt that we belong to Christ. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. A grumpy attitude is not an asset to the kingdom of God. Did you know that? A joyful attitude is what is required. If people come here and they don't see a joyful attitude, a joyful faith, why would they come back? Don't project a grumpy attitude. If you project an attitude of rejoicing, God will bless our fellowship. Every Sunday should be a celebration, amen? Every Sunday should be a celebration of God's goodness. Our next command, verse 12, be patient in trouble. I'm sure we've all lived long enough to realize that life's going to have trouble. Some of it's kind of minor, some of it's overwhelming at times. John 16:33, Jesus said this, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. This command of God, be patient in trouble, is a command to trust Him, even in the face of trouble. And know that He will lead you through that. Since we all have trouble, if the world sees us dealing with that trouble in a way that seems supernatural, it's just not normal, then that will attract them. That will attract them, and they will see that if we exhibit that patience in trouble, the Lord's going to bring fellowship here and bless fellowship here with power and blessings and with growth. Verse 12 says, keep on praying. Keep on praying. That's another ground rule for growth is prayer. Bring everything to God in prayer. No church and no community and no region and no nation has ever experienced the power of an outpouring of God without a deep commitment to prayer. Now, some have been joining us on Saturday nights. I don't want to lay a guilt trip on anybody, but if you can come out on Saturday nights to pray from 6 to 7, it's a powerful time to, that's where it comes. It comes from prayer. That comes from prayer. Our House Lights group should also have a strong element of prayer in them. It's so easy to neglect prayer. Prayer takes time. It takes sacrifice. You have to turn off the TV to pray. But the rewards are amazing. So come and join us if you can, but be committed to prayer. If we're faithful in prayer, God will bless our fellowship with growth and power. Verse 13 says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. This is another ground rule for growth. This is one of the great things about being part of the family of God, a loving family. When there's a need, there are people who care enough to help meet that need. Now keep in mind, this is not when you see a need, expect the pastor to meet that need. Amen? This is everybody, the whole family, reaching out, being there for each other. I can't be everywhere for everybody, and I'm not even going to try. But I'm going to do as much as I can. But it's not all on our shoulders or Denny and Dee's shoulders. We need to be there for each other. This is how the church originally started to grow. They cared, they shared, and the church grew. If we care and share, then we will grow as well. One more ground rule for growth is always be eager to practice hospitality. Now, that can be welcoming people into your home. That's a great thing, blessing them there. But it also refers to how we welcome people in this place. Do we have a welcoming spirit? If your gift is to be hospitable in a way that makes people welcome, makes people feel at home, we may have a job for you as greeters at our doors on Sunday mornings. Now, we already have some awesome greeters, but we can always use more. Share the love, spread the love. If that's something you're interested in doing, if you're a smiley person, a huggy person, a people person, first impressions are so important. You've all heard it said, you never get a chance, a second chance, to make a first impression. Some of you have heard of, you know who Gandhi is? He was an activist in India. Gandhi had been reading about the Christian faith. He was getting some interest in that. He was seriously thinking about becoming a Christian. So he decided to go to a church service. At that time, he was working as a lawyer in South Africa. South Africa at that time was deeply mired in racism. You've all heard of the word apartheid. And what that was a terrible time of segregation and persecution. So he went to a church. Gandhi went to a church. He went to a church, and a white South African gentleman met him at the door there, and he said, "Where are you going?" And he called him a name. I don't even know if I can say the name right. I think I will. But the name he called him is basically the N-word that they use in South Africa. And Gandhi replied, "I'd like to attend worship here." But the elder snarled at him and said, "There's no room for your kind here. Get out or I'll have my assistants throw you down the steps." Now from that moment, Gandhi decided he was going to adopt what good he found in Christianity, but he would never be a part of being a Christian if it meant he had to be a part of a church like that. Well, he didn't really come to a church of Jesus, did he? No. But that's an extreme example of how we need to practice Christ's love, and our greeters need to be first impression that is an awesome, awesome thing. So here's the Lord's formula to these from these few verses, our ground rules for growth. We're just going to recap them. If we do these, God will bless our fellowship in 2019 and beyond. First one was love sincerely. That means don't fake it. Don't bash people behind their backs. Truly love them. Hate evil, especially your own. Love good. Let God decide what's good and what's not good. Trust the Bible. And then find joy in honoring each other. Serve the Lord with enthusiasm. Be patient when things aren't going so well. And pray, pray, pray some more. And be welcoming. Make sure that every person that comes in here feels like they just found their new family. If we can do that, we will grow. Is that the kind of church you want? Anybody? Is that the kind of church you want? Okay. Let's pray, and then we'll go to the potluck, and I'm 5 minutes over. So we're going to pray, and we're going to go practice all these things on each other in there, okay? Can we do that? It's all about actions and attitudes and the anointing, the power of the Spirit on our lives. Father, thank you for your word, which teaches us what is required, our actions and your anointing and our attitudes. All of those things put together in the right way, and we will see growth in this church. We will see you honored in the way you want to be honored. We ask your touch on each and every one here. Bless this time and bless our business meeting following the potluck. I just pray that you would be glorified in every way. And all God's people said, amen, amen.